2 Samuel 5. Lord, send me some extroverts. Send me some people that just bust out running through the church and just won't stop until they pass out because they out of breath. Don't mind. They don't mind their hair coming off. Before they shout, they'll lay it in the seat, and they don't care what you're looking at. They don't care if you see their stocking cap. Come on, Jesus. Because extroverts ain't afraid to talk to people. They're not afraid to minister to people. They don't need no title. If God showed them, they're going to tell you. They don't mind witnessing to people. They don't mind going to somebody else first. They don't mind having you over to their house. They don't mind. I pray God give you an extrovert spirit, even if you showed up an introvert. That you will come out these caves and these spirits of shame and just let the Lord use you. Because God ministers to you and he shows you certain things about how he wants to use you, but you think he's going to take over your body and he not. He shows some of you prophesying, you won't open your mouth. He's not going to take control of your tongue. He shows some of you witnessing and evangelizing to people. He's not going to make you walk up to people. Say, endow me with power, Lord. Because it's going to be tough to build ministry with people that don't talk. 5:17. Actually, I'll just do one. Yeah, let's start at 17. It says, and when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over all Israel, all the Philistines came down to seek David, and David heard it and went down to the hold, and the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to fight against them without deliver me, and deliver them into my hand? The Lord said to David, go. For doubtless I'll deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And David went unto Baal Perez, and David smote them there and said, the Lord has broken forth against my enemies before me as a breach of the waters. Therefore I'll call this name Baal Perez. And there they left their images, and David and the men burned them. Go to Deuteronomy 28. I'll come back to that. Verse 7, I'll read one. I'll stay in this chapter maybe a little bit. I'll see. We'll see. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee seven ways. You can have your seat. The Lord shall cause thine enemies. To be smitten before your face, taking care of your enemies before your face. He said they're going to come out against you one way. I ain't got much, so I'll try to be done and let you go do what you're going to do. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. That sounds like a good deal, right? The quality of a person's life or your life and your future is going to be based on your obedience to God. The quality of your life, if you ever get to your future, or you'll get to it, and are you going to be prepared once you get there? Because there are times God warns us and try to encourage us about what he wants to do in us. And you can show up there and you're unprepared to do anything. But you're going to be there. And if you're not prepared, especially if God is giving you time, you can let the enemy embarrass you because you failed to get prepared. And so our lives are like that in a lot of regards, that your life and your future is going to be based off the quality of it. It's going to be based on your obedience to God. And sometimes before God can bless us, he tries to prove our faithfulness to him. He wants you to prove your faithfulness to him. If it wasn't so, when you read Deuteronomy 28, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt diligently hearken unto my voice to observe and to do all my commandments, or his commandments, which I'm commanding thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above the nations, but he not going to elevate you and you disobedient. He not going to elevate you. You know, it's amazing to me that people who are constantly, chronically late at work, all the time calling in to work, think God going to exalt them with a business. I'm pausing for effect. You're not in no condition or no position for your personal business because you won't be faithful in another man's business. So God not finna give you anything. He's trying to, but he's asking you to prove your faithfulness according to what, say, is written. And oftentimes what happens in the body of Christ is that some preacher or some teacher or somebody that ain't got no responsibility for anybody stands up and start telling people that you can just do anything and that God is going to bless you, and you have not proved that you're faithful to his covenant yet. We've not proved to God that we don't have any other gods in this world before him. My wife ain't my God. My children ain't my God. My job, not my job, not my God. I'm not my own God. You understand? My money, not my God. My body, not my God. You understand? My intellect and my degrees are not my God. My car, not my job, my God. My house is not my God. We have too many little G's before God. And God, it says, you're not proving that you're faithful to my covenant yet. I want to bless you. I can bless you. I desire to bless you, but I'm not going to bless you. Say if you're proving that you're worthy and that you're in a place and that the quality of your life, God can get involved to do something because you proved faithfulness to his covenant. And it shall come to pass if you hearken, listening with the intent to obey. Do you know that people come to church and they don't have no intent on doing nothing that they hear? Look this way, please. They know when they leave church that they are going to go back into the same behaviors, the same. Some people are going to pick up the argument where they left off in the car on the way to church. They're going to hit play as soon as everybody else ain't around. They're going to go right back into it, and then they expect God to move it. But they had no intent on doing what they heard. And God is trying to stir up the body of Christ, the people of God, that don't be so foolish to come in and hear a word that you have no intent on doing. You have wasted your time. You could have slept in and ate breakfast at IHOP or something if you was going to come in and hear the word of God and then you had no intent on doing the word. Say, you wasting your time. And see, when you want to be developed in God and you want God to move in your life, you attentive to his word. This is why when God tell me to give somebody a word, mother, I hardly will ever say, I'll go off into what people think is moving in the spirit. My people, my people, my people, some utterance or some tongue, I'll just tell them what God tells them, because if they got an ear to hear, they'll hear it, because their spirit is open for a deposit. But if they won't, they'll just go right on about their business because they had no intent on doing what they heard anyway. This is why people don't grow. That's why people don't develop. Because some of you, God never going to use you, because the reality of it is, if you go back 5 years, you've been in church, but you still the same as you was 5 years ago. Say, come on up to the high places. You are exactly the same. This means that you have been listening with no intent on obeying the word of God. So preachers have to always preach hard or come up with something new. Sometimes they need to keep preaching the same sermon until somebody do it. You don't get no new. You don't get no fresh. Say, do what you heard first. And so when you look at this passage, because we want to live any old kind of way and we want to claim the blessing, do you know that you have no real right to be parading around talking about that you the blessed of God, the righteousness of God, if we living like the devil is our father? And this is why John says it in 1 John. He says that a person that's a child of God, they cannot sin or commit sin, or he says they can't practice it. Because whatever my behavior is exhibiting, that's the person that's over my life right now. So I can't be living like the devil and proclaiming I'm the righteousness. I got to make up which side that I'm going to be on, and then I live in accordance to that. Ask somebody, say, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who's your... If God is your daddy, then reflect that God is your daddy. But don't be telling people you are the righteousness of God while you in unrighteousness, exhibiting fruits that show that this is not God's behavior. And God is serious about this, because he want to bless his people. So churches have to convince people that they bless, but they it's almost a form of brainwashing them, because in reality, our spirit convicts us to let us know, watch this, I'm trying to be careful, or living like we're undeserving. Because we want to separate behavior from our spiritual connection. Out of the abundance of your spirit, your mouth will speak. From your spirit, your eyes will look. And your body will follow where your eyes are going, because that's in you. A person that's drawn with a spirit of lust, their eyes are following what's in their spirit. That's why they stuck in lust. And if they'll come out of that and break that, and it ain't just men, because you got some lustful women these days. I think the word they use now is thirsty. Right? Say amen or oh my. That's lust. The Bible don't say thirsty. The Bible says you got a spirit of lust. And you're being drawn away. I don't know why the Holy Ghost got me going this way this morning. And you'll be drawn away by your own lust. And then the devil is enticing you. See, because you can't be tempted with something that you don't have no desire for. So he's tempting you based off of your desires, but say, God, pluck that out of me right now. I want to be free. He's tempting you based off something that you want. And it's amazing. You walk into the place, or you go into the place, and then this person approaching you say, I don't know why I keep getting mixed up with the same type of woman, because you got a spirit of lust. I don't know why I keep getting tied up with the same type of man, because you got a spirit of lust. Say, God, free us right now. Free us right now. And God is trying to bless his people, but you can't be fooling ourselves with some good talk. Because there are times when God is not listening to you. Watch this. God is looking at you. Because sometimes there's a conflict between what we are saying and how we live it. And so God said, I'm going to ignore what you are saying, and I'm going to watch what you are doing. I'm going to ignore what you are saying, and I'm going to watch what you are doing. How many know God sees all things? Why would God pay attention to what we're doing and not we're saying? Because even in this life, we understand that 90% of communication is nonverbal. Of what you believe ain't what you say, it's what you do. It's how you conduct yourself. It's how you live when nobody's watching. And this generation, they don't even care if somebody is watching. It's how you live. It's my life. It's my life. But I thought you said you was born again. If you're born again, your life is not your own. It's my life. I'll do what I want to do with it. Then you're not born again. Because when you're born again, if any man is in Christ, that person's life belonged to Jesus Christ. And he moves into that temple, and because he's in there, I don't live any kind of way because I don't want to offend my partner that's within. I don't want to offend my partner that's within. I don't want to offend my partner that's within. The Holy Spirit is your partner. And he's on the inside of us to lead us and guide us, say, faithfully obey God. In Deuteronomy 28, this is what Moses is telling his people. You know, people don't want to listen to preachers no more. With the intent on doing. Because that's not how I interpret that. The Bible ain't up to no private interpretation. That's why he had people write basically the same things in different dispensations to corroborate that God was talking to the first man that you ignored. So he gave it to another man 100 years later to tell you the exact same thing in a different book that you could see that this is what God intended for humanity, and it ain't up to no private interpretation. Don't nobody care what your mama think. Don't nobody care what your stepmama, your stepdaddy. Look at their life and see how they have been living. Look at their conduct. Look how they live their life. Look how they still living their life. In essence, sometimes just because a person got a collar wrapped around their neck, a white collar and a black top on, don't mean that God gave them any credentials to speak for him. They need to shut their mouth. Preach Holy Ghost. Because people be messing people's children up. Call they self preaching to them, and they not, they your natural child, but they may be some pastor spiritual child, and because they grown, you don't get to speak in their life because you ain't they covering. You don't get to tell them spiritually what to do because they got a pastor. And pastors are messing people up because they still want to hold their claws into people who are in a different place, a different state, up on another pastor, and they controlling that person with some form of, I don't know, whatever, and that person is serving up under somebody else. So before they do what the current pastor say, they got to go ask the old pastor if they should be listening to the new pastor. How about you just go to your old pastor? How about you just go to your old pastor? Too many voices or one too many voices sometimes brings confusion. It lets the devil in. I'm gonna preach this. It lets the devil in. One too many voices can confuse a God situation, and now God can't move in it. Is this too boring for you? Because I've watched some of your life, so I know the devil got you in confusion. God is trying to get us out of confusion so we can hearken to his voice. So he can bless his people in accordance to what he said. Because truthfully, I can say I'm blessed, but only God can release the blessing. God speaks the blessing.
God speaks it over our lives, brother. And when God speaks it, he's speaking it in accordance to what's in us. That's why it comes to pass. That's why when a person calls themselves prophesying to you and is speaking over your life, God knows if it's him or not, and his words won't come to pass, because God blesses us in accordance to us being in covenant with him, not just on paper, but by our exhibited behavior and our lifestyle, what's really happening in us. Then God starts speaking over your life. Say, I want you to have this. Are you qualified for this? You're going to live this dimension. But don't nobody get the right to trump God's word over your life by speaking a word that God had not said. And when you speak a word that God had not said, brother, it falls to the ground. God will not honor it. So watch this. Moses was telling them God is requiring complete obedience. Moses was telling them, you got to maintain your relationship with God. Listen, if you too busy to read one chapter in the Bible a day, you too busy. If you too busy to pray, you in the wrong profession. You telling me I have to quit my job? You the one who say you serving the Lord and you too busy for the Lord. You might not have quit your job. But you're not too busy. We're not too busy to maintain our relationship with God. I'm too busy to come to church. I got too many things to do. Then you need to quit all those other things. My kids got things to do. Make them drop out then. The devil will take them straight to hell on the football field. He'll kill them dead. He'll have some kid to pop them with them helmets on like they did that boy on the football field. He would better been glad that the emergency people got to him quick enough and they just didn't pull him to the sideline, or he would have been dead. But we have too much, say, maintain your relationship with God. If you ain't maintaining your relationship with God, you ain't got no relationship with God. And how many know it's more to it than just coming to church? That's good. We're supposed to do that. And God is helping us this morning. But he says he's trying to tell them to put them in a place where God can bless them. That's what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to put our church in a place where God can bless you. Anybody interested in that? And I don't care how good your life is. If you can't take care of everything that God wants you to be involved in, you ain't got it all yet. You're not living like God wants you to live yet. Get in a place where God can bless you, and then what will God do? He'll bless you, because sometimes you have to prove that you're blessed. Watch this. But it ain't always material things. It's not always material things. It's good that you got material things. You need to have material things, because sometimes God will use you to be an answer to somebody else's prayer. Because God ain't creating stuff out of nothing in the earth no more. We do that. You do that. So all you tight-lifted people, you're really hurting your own life by not opening your mouth when you have the ability to confess and speak over your own self, because God not going to do it for you. You have to do it. So when you tell people to confess that I'm healed, say, I'm healed. I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. I'm anointed. I live in holiness. People won't even say it, but God is going to honor what you say, not what I say about you. And so it's not all material things, because sometimes we have to prove that we are blessed with no money. You got to prove that you are blessed without a dime in your bank account. You can still live in a capacity in the earth to prove that you are blessed. How do you do that? By handling a trial and a test when you could come out of it. After the devil done his worst, you can still talk about how God is going to do his best. I can still proclaim the goodness of God when I come out of a test and a trial, and I'm still living saved. I don't go back to the world. I don't compromise my mind. I don't compromise weaponize my body. I don't start selling drugs. I don't start selling my body. I don't start beating people up. I don't keep cussing people out. I don't get mad and quit the church. I don't do none of that stuff. I'm in a trial. I'm going through a test. I'm proving to God that I believe that he is who he says he is. I'm not going to break my covenant with God because I'm in an attack by the devil. I'm going to wait till God come. I'm going to wait until my chains come. I'm going to keep lifting up my eyes to the hill from which comes my help, because one of these days it's not going to be a mountain. It's going to be Jesus coming to rescue me, or sending somebody to get me out of this jammed up situation. But it ain't because I got a bunch of money all the time. Money makes people simple-minded sometimes. They think that money going to solve all their problems. And the devil got people running around. You got more money that you ever going to spend in your lifetime, that you would really need in your lifetime. And yet we looking for some dollar sign. And you foolish man, foolish woman, don't you know your life could be required of you tonight? Why are you neglecting God trying to get to $1 million? Why are you stealing from God trying to get to some $5 million? Foolish man, you built another barn, but you're going to die before you spend a dime of it. Why won't you just give your life to the Lord and just say, for the Lord I live and for the Lord I'm going to die. Say, for the Lord I live, and for the Lord I'm not living for no money. I'm not living for no fame. I'm not living for some dumb book. I'm not living for some house. I'm living that Jesus would be pleased with me at the end of my life. Somebody ought to give the Lord a praise. Somebody ought to tell the Lord thank you. That even in spite of it, that whatever you went through, you still got your joy. That you are still connected to the vine. That you are still know that I'm going to produce, even if I'm in a drought in a weary land, because I'm with the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my help. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You're going to make it out. The Lord is your help. You're going to be all right. Watch this. That's why Jesus says that blessed are the poor in spirit. He says, blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those when people persecute you for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those when other people revile you or they talk about you. In other words, when your faith is depleted and you're grieving over some loss, when you've been fired for no reason and your people and your family and your friends and your church people sometimes are laughing at you, you find yourself still in the house of the Lord lifting up holy hands. You still find yourself lifting up your voice unto the Lord. You still find yourself preaching and teaching in the kingdom. You still find yourself serving in the children's ministry because you're shouting unto the Lord because of the great things that he is going to do in your life. I'm not worried about what happened. I got to show that I'm blessed without natural things sometimes. People come all unglued. They quit on God. They quit serving. They can't serve when they're going through. They don't know how to give God glory when all the natural things and the physical things ain't in their life. Say, I got to be blessed when ain't everything in my life is wrong. I still got to let people know that I'm still the blessed God. I'm not going to compromise with some sin. I'm still the other ways that you can show people that you blessed without money or things. Anybody in here had the devil ever take everything from you? Almost took your mind. Took a marriage from some people. Done took jobs from people. Done took businesses from people. But he couldn't take your praise. And the very thing that he left and he couldn't take, that was the very thing that you used as a weapon against him. Tell somebody, say, your weapon is your praise. Say, my weapon is a praise. Somebody ought to stand to your feet and praise the Lord. Because while you're yet in this valley and you think that you don't have no other options, you got an option to defeat the devil. You got a weapon of praise. He can't take your praise. He don't want your praise. Because if he gets your praise, he'll have to praise the Lord. And the devil will never praise the Lord. He'll rather go back to hell before he'll praise the Lord. He'll rather leave this church before he'll praise the Lord. He can't take that weapon. Your praise is your weapon. If you're depressed, you got a weapon. If you're lonely, you got a weapon. If you're sick, you got a weapon. If you're broke, you got a weapon. Somebody ought to give the Lord praise. We're going to be done in a few minutes. Somebody ought to give the Lord some praise. Somebody ought to let the devil know that I'm not moved. I still got one option.
When I ain't got nothing else, I got an option of praise. I'm going to exercise this option. I'm going to exercise this option. I'm going to watch the Lord come through. I'm going to exercise this option. I'm going to let the Lord know. I'm going to praise the Lord on the mountaintop or the valley low. Tell somebody, you still got an option. You still got an option. You still got an option. You got another move. Sit down, please. James said, blessed is the man that remains steadfast under trials. Meaning that sometimes the trial puts pressure on you. But the trial cannot crush you because God is fortifying you under the trial. And so he can't understand why you still smiling. This should have crushed them. This should have took all the wind out of them. I lost my child. I lost my job. I lost my husband. But yet I'm still enduring under this trial. They won't let the Lord go. And this is why Job say, though he may test me. Why did they say that? Though he may, yet will I. I'm going to trust in the. What was he doing? He was fortified under a trial. Do you know that the Bible said that Job was the blessed man in all of the earth during that time? And they took his money, killed his family, wrecked his farm life, his little business that he had, touched his body. But yet Job is saying, God is still saying, Job is still the most blessed person in the earth. When his wife told him, Job, you should just curse God and just go ahead and on and die. You sick as a dog. When his friends came and accused him of being in sin, Job just stayed in God. He said, here, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I got one more option. I can cry, I can whine, or I can praise God. Though he may slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. I got one more option. Tell somebody your option is praise. Some of us, if you don't learn how to praise God, well, what under you under, you're going to perish under that pressure. You got an option. You can praise the Lord. You got an option. You can praise the Lord. You got an option. You can keep confessing the word of God. You got an option. You can lift up holy hands in the sanctuary. Ain't nobody else lifting up their hands. Ain't nobody else clapping. Yeah, but you ain't under the pressure no more. And yet they still abound. Yet they still abound. Yet they are. We worry about other people too much. Watch this. So I got an option. Jesus said, blessed is the man whose lawless deeds are forgiven. Lawless stuff, thing that we did that wasn't right, and God still found a way to forgive us for it. And I got to tell somebody today, God says that you've been praying for a breakthrough. Anybody been praying for a breakthrough? I think my wife alluded to something this morning I heard in the office. He said some people that you've been really trying to change. You've been trying to advance forward. You've been trying to be consistent in this battle. And every time the devil come up against you with something, the devil tries to put you back. But God said you're in a breakthrough moment. You're in a breakout moment. He said you're in a breakout moment. He says that I'm going to be an enemy to your enemy. I'm going to be an adversary to your adversary. Say, I'm in a breakout moment. You got to lay hold to that word because he says the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated. He said they'll come one way, they'll flee seven ways. And that says, what is he saying? Sometimes the devil knows who you is and they'll unify to come up against you. So you think you're fighting against one devil, but you're fighting against a legion sometime because they done fortified themselves to come up against you because of who you are in God. But God says, when I stand up on your behalf, he said they done came in one way unified, but they're going to leave scattered or divided. God getting ready to divide somebody's enemies. They've been formulating, they've been plotting, they've been planning, they've been unified, they've been laughing, they've been talking about you, they've been talking about watch this, and God say, I'm going to bust that up. I'm going to bust up this demonic attack over your life. I'm going to bust that demonic attack over your family. I'm going to bust that demonic attack over your marriage. I'm going to bust that demonic attack over your mind. I'm going to bust that demonic attack over your money. God say, I'm going to bust it up. I'm going to bust it up. You're going to break out. You're going to move forward. Say, I got one more move. Say, I got one more move. I got one more option.
I can believe the report of the Lord and I can praise him, or I can not exercise my option and sit there like I'm dead, like I don't even have the Spirit of God in me. So I got one more option. Tell somebody you got one more option. Go to 2 Samuel 5. Let me close out. So I got one more option. In 2 Samuel 5, David had been crowned king of Israel. And you know that they had been divided into two kingdoms. David done fought. Saul is now dead. David is trying to unify the kingdom of God. But even though the children of Israel are living outside of Jerusalem, and some of them in Jerusalem, David still knows that the Jebusites still have the place in the kingdom. There are still enemies in there, and he needs to rebuild this place. He needs to expand this place, but he can't do it with devils there. That's somebody's word right there. When God is trying to get you to rebuild broken areas of your life, and he's trying to expand you to some capacity, you got to root devils out before you can do it. Sometimes they've been there so long sitting on your throne, they think that you're going to yield to them like you've always done, but God said you got to root them out. When you're trying to establish a place in God, sometimes you have to root up and throw away old relationships, because sometimes those are the ones that the devil has been using to enthrone himself in your life by using them. You got to root it all out. But they was good to me. They was loyal to me. And this was David's problem, because some of these people had been kind to David when David was being ridden through the mountains and Saul was trying to kill him. David was asking God, should I pursue them? Because David is questioning, should I go up against them? Even though they're from the family of the enemy, they were actually good to me. Should I be good to them or should I just root them out? Should I go up and pursue them, or should I just leave them alone and live with them? And the Lord said to David, you shall go up and root them out. You shall go up against them. And that's some of the things that the devil is doing to some of you, is that he is making you have this street loyalty to people just because they was good to you was you was in the world. You're not in the world. You're not of the world. And sometimes you got to root them out of your system. You got to get them out of your life so you can go forward in the things of God. If not, they're going to dethrone you again, baby. They see what's on your life. They know how God is using you. They are jealous of you, and they're trying to befriend you just so you will let down your guard. And God is saying that don't let down your guard. You don't have to be loyal to anybody. If they did it for you, it's because I moved on their heart for them to move in your life. Let it go and let them go so you can establish yourself on your own throne. Say, this is my throne. Excuse me. This is my throne. This is my throne. I'm not going to share it with you. I'm not going to let you abide in my kingdom, because we don't even think the same no more. We don't even serve the same God no more. I'm not going to be loyal to you. I'm not going to tell somebody, say, it's my throne. And David goes up into this place. David goes up in there, and he has been anointed for the third time. He got to conquer them, and he got to get this place. But the Philistines heard, watch this, they had anointed David king over Israel. Boy, this is a revelation right here. Watch this. They done anointed David king over Israel, and all the Philistines came out to seek David. They disrespecting him. Do you know that anytime God is doing something new through you, old devils will present themselves. Devils that used to defeat you will position themselves. They come to check you out because they think they can take you again. Watch this. And they come out, Deacon Henry, to disrespect the fact, even the fact that David has the presence of God with him now. Do you know that a lot of times we have the anointing of God on us, and we walk in places, and we still let devils disrespect us, and we carrying the anointing? But David wasn't going to take it. David wasn't going to take it, because as soon as the Lord established you, they come to attack you. That's what Jesus did. That's what they did to Jesus. As soon as the God was starting to establish his kingdom in the earth and through the hearts of men, they came to pluck out Jesus. Immediately, people started coming up against Jesus. Say, but I got God's assurance. I got God's assurance. And the Philistines also came. Watch what they did. And they spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, or the valley of giants. What they're doing, they thought they had, they taken away the military move of David. They thought they had spread themselves in the valley. David had actually positioned himself in a higher place where he could spy on them. But they had spread themselves out all over this valley, and they thought that David had no more military moves. The devil think you ain't got no more options. I said, the devil think you ain't got no more options. The devil think he got you cornered. He got you boxed in. He got you in a place where you say, you're not going to come out of this no more. Say, but God got an option for me. Say, God got an option for me. And so David is in this place, and David begins to inquire of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said, say, the Lord said. Say, the Lord said. The Lord said unto David, go up. That's somebody's word right there. Say, go up, go up, go up, go up. Go up into that high place, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistine into thy hand. That's somebody's word right there. Whatever spiritual conflict you're in, be encouraged, because the Lord is getting ready to give you the victory. Say, go up, go up, go up, go up. God is getting ready to give you victory over this area, in this area. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. And David, watch what David says. David said, the Lord had broke forth against my enemies before me as a breach of water. In other words, you just saw the Lord of the breakthrough. You just saw the Lord of the breakthrough. Some of you are getting ready to experience the Lord of the breakthrough. What you did and you said it was a breakthrough, it wasn't no breakthrough. You had enough skills in the past where you can get some certain things done, but you wasn't really surrounded by no enemies. But some of you are surrounded by some enemies right now, and you're getting ready to see that you got another move in God left. You're about to see the Lord of the breakthrough come forward in your life. Say, I got one more move. Say, I got one more move. So I'm not going to go out like this. Say, God is getting ready to come through for me. Say, I got one more move. And what God is wanting us to do right now is say, keep your praise high in this hour, because he inhabits the praises of his people. Keep, not just in church, keep your praise high, because God say, I inhabit the praises of my people. When you get in your car and you're depressed, cut on some praise music and shout all the way to church or all the way to your job and see don't the situation change. But by the time you get home, say, keep your praise. You got one more move. The devil thought, this one I got to get, let me get out of here. But God has put in my heart, he said, the devil think he done put you in a place where you don't have nothing else to do. But the Lord said to remind some people that he's going to come through for you, that you got one, say, one more move. Say, I got one more move. He says, that impossible situation that you in, he says, I'm going to come through for you in that game, in that situation. And he said, I want you to let them know that the game is not over. The devil might be laughing right now, but he's not going to be laughing always. The game ain't over. You got one more move. And I'm serious. He has not taken all your options away. I don't know who up against what, but it looked like you ain't got no move. I'm speaking to you now. God said, you got another option. Look around. Invite him into that situation and see don't whatever it is that's been held up, it breaks through just like the God of the breakthrough broke through for David. It's going to break through for you. God not going to leave from heaven to make it happen, but he can speak a word and make it happen. God is making it happen for you today. Say, I got one more move. He hasn't taken away all your options. You're looking in the wrong place. You're asking the wrong people. You're pursuing the wrong thing. Somehow you got another option. And what the devil has told you no, God is saying, I'm telling you, you got another option. God say, God is saying yes. God is saying yes. Say, God is saying yes. Say, God is saying yes. Say, God is saying yes. If God says yes, you got another move. If God says yes, you got another move. I used to like playing chess. I don't play chess no more. I mean, I had a real nice chess set, the crystal ones. My wife bought it from Prague, Czechoslovakia. They broke it up, moving over here. And I never really gained the love for
chest again. I watched them play, but it's been so long since I played. I just don't play no more because I can't remember. I can remember the moves, but sometimes when you play chess, Deacon Henry will tell you, when you're fighting somebody across the table in chess, it's not the move that you see that really makes the difference. It's the move that you make that positions you for five more moves after that. That positions you for the win. What am I saying to you? This move is going to position you for five more breakthroughs that's going to cause you to win. So I got one more move. And where the devil look like he got you trapped, a good skilled person, they don't come unglued just because you hit that button and you say checkmate. Because they already five moves ahead of you. Listen to me. You got the Holy Ghost in you. God has you five moves ahead of that attack. Don't you come unglued. Don't you let down and just knock over your queen. No, don't knock over your king. God has positioned you. Say, I got one more move. This move is going to change your life. This move is going to change your marriage. This move is going to change you financially. This move is going to change you from a person down here. God is going to take you from the back to the front. Somebody praise God for your next move. I got to get out of here. Praise God for your next move. This is going to be a move of triumph. This is going to be a move of victory. This is going to be a move that establishes you. This is going to be a move that elevates you in the ministry. This is going to be a move that calls things that have been dead in your life to come back to life. This is going to be a move that's going to challenge you to grow up in God. This is going to be a move to make the devil leave you alone. This is going to be a move to make the devil get out of your house. Get out of your life. Get out of your family. Say, I got one more move. And while I'm standing here, I'm going to praise God until I move. You not boxed in. Tell somebody you not trapped. Tell three people you not trapped. You not trapped. You not trapped. Because I hear the Lord tell somebody you're not trapped. God has strategically placed you where he placed you. He done put you where he put you. But you still got the winning card on your side. You got one more. Don't blow it. Don't blow it. Don't give up where you're standing. You're not going to die in that condition. God is going to give you a breakthrough. Somebody praise the Lord. Let's get out of here. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, let the devil know that you're not moved. Let the devil know that you're not trapped. Let the devil know that you got options. I'm not staying in some bad relationship. I'm not going to stay on some bad job. I got options. I'm not going to stay in some bad living condition. I got options. I'm not going to keep on living in the... You got options. Jesus is your option. And if you following him, nowhere in the world he going to let the devil ever win. If you behind him, brother, ain't no way the devil can win over your life. There's no way he can have victory in your life. I got one more. I got one more. This move going to set you free. Amen. Hey, let's get ready to get up out of here. Father, we thank you right now. Somebody, he giving you a choice right now. Because you thought this was all your life deserves and all you can get. God said it's not so. It's not so. You have options. You have another move. You have another choice. Don't let the devil tell you there's no way. If you got God, there's always a way. If you got God, I say that's always a way. That's always a way. He is the God of the impossible. He is a possible God who works the impossible. He gives us choices that we don't ever have to bow down to the adversary. So I'm not going to bow down. So I'm not going to bow down. Father, we ask you right now to whatever, lift your hands up high to the Lord. We don't have no altar call today. Let the Lord deposit into you. I'm telling you, there's some people in here that you about to make a defining decision in your life.
And the choice that you thought you were going to make and you needed to make, God is going to give you an option. You was not happy with what was presented. You was not happy with what was given unto you. God is going to give you an option. And Father God, we ask you for a spiritual download. I ask you for an infusion into your people's heart on this day. Ooh-wee. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Come on, get it all, 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 get it all from the Lord. Get it all from the Lord. Get it from him. Get it from him. Tell him, Lord, I need it right now. I need this change. I need this. I need this advancement. I need this right now. My family needs this. My children need this. My church needs this. Don't shut it down. You got options. Father God, we thank you for a rich deposit happening in the hearts of your people. We thank you for this download that's happening. Even though the airways, God, let it begin to permeate in that wherever they're sitting, let it hit them. Let it hit their households in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we'll give you all of the praise. We'll give you all the glory for this next move. We're giving you praise and thanks for the next move that's even happening even now in this church. We thank you for choosing us. We thank you for opening doors. We thank you for closing doors. Father, we thank you for the steering. God is steering somebody's life. He's navigating you. Even as you're standing here, lift them high to the Lord. He's showing you how to navigate it right now. He's trying to anyway. He's trying to show you how to navigate it. How to get out in Jesus' name. And Father God, we give you all the praise, glory, and honor. Somebody give the Lord a good thunderous praise all over this place. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're in a breakout moment. When I say breakout moment, look for the angelic to get involved in your life. When Saul and Paul and Silas was in that jail, they broke out with a praise. When they broke out of that praise, they was breaking out spiritually, and God used angels to get them out of a natural situation. I'm preaching to somebody. He used angels to break them out because God the Father don't leave heaven. And Jesus ain't leaving heaven until he comes back. But God uses the Holy Spirit and he uses angels in this dimension to break us out of natural situations. Sometimes they take on human bodily form. I don't know who this is. You'll meet somebody that you've never met and they'll escort you out the rest of the way. And they'll drop you over the balcony in a basket of abundance to free you to where you need to be released into. And you've never met them. And when they're done, you won't see them again. God has answered your prayers. Tell somebody, God has answered your prayers this morning. God has answered your prayers this morning. Say, God has answered your prayers this morning. God has answered your prayers this morning. You're out. You're out. You're out. Come on, give us a hand of praise. I'm going to let my wife close us out.
Amen. Praise the Lord. With all hearts, minds are clear, let us bow before the King. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you right now for the word that has went forth, oh God. Lord God, I pray right now, oh God, that all that has heard, oh God, begin to take it and apply it through their lives throughout the course of this week, oh God. Let them know and understand, oh God, that you are working down on the inside of their life, oh God. And Lord God, let them begin to receive the abundance, oh God. For you, O God, are merciful, O God. And God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask that you fill the man of God back up again, O God. Lord God, everything that he's poured out unto us, O God, fill him up again, O God. Give him the strength that he needs, O God, to endure even the more, O God. And Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you bless our going out as you did our coming in.